Right. As you leave today, there is a Easter egg for each of you. It's a gift from Bruce there. Also, we have got 100 little Easter eggs which are going to be offered to customers in the pub with an appropriate leaflet. Is that right?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I had the easy job. Oh, well, Graham was with me. I must forget him. Of buying them.
Oh!
But Julie's got the bigger job of and I'm sure she'll be happy for some help. The other thing I wanted to do is this. It's Gene's Stewart, just to make sure you know who I'm talking about. It's Gene Stewart that has a birthday on the 19th. There's a card for him here, but I think it would be nice, because he knows what goes on, if we could sing happy birthday to him. So, if someone can start us off, please.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Stuart. Happy birthday to you.
Over to Richard.
Good morning, happy Resurrection Day, everybody. And we're going to start with Jesus Christ is risen today.
Jesus Christ is risen today.
With led like a lamb to the slaughter, Graham Kendrick Easter song.
You have begun your eternal reign of justice and joy, glory, 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 glory.
Should keep the feast. For Christ is risen, the everlasting joy. Now all things are filled with the light, heaven and earth, and all places under the earth. All creation celebrates the resurrection of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We worship you today with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving on your lips. When the powers of evil have done their worst, crucifying your Son and burying him in death, you raised him to live again, an act of power giving hope to the world.
We rejoice that death could not keep you in its grip, that you were raised to life, alive forevermore. You greeted your friends, and now you stand amongst us in your risen power.
You are always giving life to the people of God, giving birth to the children of God. Remodel us in the image of Jesus. Fill us with his love and enable us with his risen power, that we might be faithful to his way, used by you in the redeeming of your world.
Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we pray this day for all those who continue to suffer because of war, the widows, orphans, and all who are bereaved, the wounded, crippled, deaf, dumb, and blinded, the shell-shocked, the traumatized, the refugees without home, work, or country. Grant to them all your healing and strength, your help and consolation, and let it be mediated wherever possible through us. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Sure who's doing the reading that follows the next hymn. Oh, you are.
So we're going to continue the praise with He Has Risen.
Jesus is alive. He has risen. the great awakening. Satan's power is overcame. He has risen. Jesus is alive.
See what a morning was later, so we just swap it over. Is that all right?
Okay. Right, no so worries. The reading. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
So if we just turn back to See What a Morning, another lovely Easter song telling the story of what we've just heard.
What a morning
Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. At dawn, they went. What are the qualities of dawn that clarify to us the meaning and the mission of Jesus? I've got three suggestions for you this morning. The first one, the dawn marks the beginning of something new. Most of us have at some time watched a new day dawn and enjoyed the beauty of it. H. Jess Rice says this: each day at dawning, I lift my heart high and raise my eyes to the infinite sky. I watch the night vanish, and a new day is born. I hear the birds sing on the wings of the morn. I see the dew glisten in crystal-like splendor, while God with a touch that is gentle and tender wraps up the night and softly takes it away and hangs out the sun to herald a new day. So, the dawn marks the beginning of a new day. And of course, that's what the resurrection does, isn't it? The resurrection marks the beginning of a new day. For example, the risen Jesus marks the beginning of new life. How wonderful it is within a family when a new baby is born. Jesus said in John 3, verse 7, "You must be born again." John 10, verse 10, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Paul, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." So the resurrection gives meaning to those words. The resurrection is the beginning of new life. And then again, the resurrection of the Lord marks the beginning of new relationships, new families. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters." Yes, God becomes our Father when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, and we become brothers and sisters in the faith. In other words, it is a new family. We enter a new relationship with God the Father and with His Son Jesus and with each other. A new family. The risen Lord Jesus also marks the beginning of a new victory. Friday's death, the death we think about on Good Friday, has been now brought to life. Jesus said in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 54 through to 57. "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to Christ. Thanks be to God, because he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So a new day dawns through the risen Lord Jesus, bringing new life, new relationships, and a new victory. So much that is new. And my second point, the dawn is the most silent force in nature. French Topping says this: the silent witness begins. Every year I see a new miracle. Later he says, my bush, my back garden miracle is only one of the thousands of millions of resurrection. Throughout the country, in towns and cities, in streets, parks and fields, there are thousands and thousands of silent witnesses to the mystery of creation. Every bush, every tree, every blossom, every fruit, every nut, every berry quietly shouts, see, I live. How humbly it was that Jesus came. His birth, his life, and even his death did not cause much of a stir, not in the terms of world happenings. The most famous birth in all history was at a time unknown, was at that time unknown to most people. And the life of Jesus didn't arouse a lot of interest at that time. But even that was confined to the area in where he moved. His death was an event that the authorities wanted over and done with. They didn't want people to know about it, and they didn't want much fuss. The resurrection of Jesus happened without anyone knowing what was happening. And at dawn, when they arrived at the tomb, he was gone. No fanfares, no trumpets. In the same way, when Jesus enters our lives as our personal Saviour, it is usually without much noise or fuss. Often it's a quiet experience. Silently he comes. Silently he calls us to be still. And in the silence he enters. But notice this. It is a silent force. Oh, I remember when Jesus came into my life. It was silent, but it was very forceful. A silent force. He comes silently. He calls us to be still. And in that silence, he enters our lives. And he comes with great power. And he transforms us completely. Our old life is gone. We live a new life now, because he is in control. And we go on, don't we, as disciples serving our Lord. And it's that thing that I have to pray so much for. And that is, Lord, help me to be empty of self and full of the Spirit. Because that is how God works through us and transforms us, by the work and the power of the Spirit. The influence of God is being silently and yet powerfully known throughout the world. Just think about that. His influence, the influence of God, is being silently and yet powerfully known throughout the world. And then I come to number three, the last one. The dawn is also the most irresistible force in nature. Do you remember the two on the road to Emmaus? They walked and talked with Jesus without even recognizing him. But when they reached their journey's end, when they took that bread, and he took the bread and broke it, then they began to realize. Their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus. It was then that they said this: "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us?" And then there was Saul on the road to Damascus. When confronted with the risen Lord Jesus, he went on as instructed by Jesus into the city and was later baptized, and even later was responsible for sharing the good news of Jesus with many. And we have to remember that this was the Saul who previously had been persecuting the followers of Jesus. He was having them imprisoned. He was having many of them killed. Why the change? Well, simply because Saul was no longer old Saul, but he was the new Paul. He was the new man. He was the new life. Paul could not resist the call of Jesus. The very encounter with the risen Lord Jesus was so powerful that it transformed his life. And it has transformed the lives of millions, hasn't it, ever since. The resurrection of Jesus was verified by his disciples and by many other eyewitnesses. That reality changed the disciples from frightened deserters. That's what they were when he first was crucified. And it changed them from frightened deserters to dynamic leaders in the new church. The fact is, this was the foundation of the Christian faith. And we too can be changed, just as the disciples were. And we can have the same confidence that they had. And we can be confident of this, that one day our bodies will be raised to life, and given the ability to share eternity with Jesus. We are to live in victory, not to fear or to despair, but we are surely to praise God for the resurrection, for the resurrection dawn, if you like, the new life, the new everything, and let it be for his glory. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Bruce. Well, the last one is, I don't know if anybody will know it, hopefully a couple will. It's a bit rowdy, but it's wonderful words for Easter. And I realised that I've fallen down on my duty to get the full info to Bruce this week, you know, on a few bits. And the last one is on the end of here. If we could just repeat "Forever I Am Changed" twice, that would be great. Well, I hope you can follow it anyway. But I've left the vocals on so we can sort of sing along. Happy day. Jesus is alive.
Together, say the grace, and can I just draw your attention to what Sarah's left here in a bowl?
I want the bowl.
She wants the bowl, but she doesn't want what's in it.
Made in Jerusalem.
Oh,
wow.
When I visited, but I'd like all those to go because I.
So please take a few so that the whole lot goes. Hey? Oh, from her?
Yeah, and
oh, and bars of chocolate.
Wow.
Nobody takes them, then just give them to you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Right.
We've got talk, so we
haven't. What a happy group, eh? Right. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah, Easter.
Yeah.